Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I'm calling to you live this week from Grand Prairie, Texas, which is just outside of Dallas, probably halfway between there and Arlington, Texas. But it's another great day, and I've got on the show with me my co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady herself. Hello, Rhonda.
Well, hello, hello. It's wonderful to be here again, as always.
Same here. I've got to tell you what Fritz has done today before we start.
Oh, good. Tell me.
I'm sitting here on a coaching call a few minutes ago, and I'm hearing these something walking, and I can't tell, is it on the front of my coach, which it's a bus, right? So there's not like a front hood, but I'm hearing something. It's either there or on my roof, and I cannot for the life of me figure it out. Well, it turns out I had been in the back getting dressed and didn't realize little Fritz has learned how to get into the dashboard on the bus. So when I called him, he jumps down, and I'm like, where were you? He goes to the kitchen, he turns around, he takes a running start, and he runs to the front and leaps under the curtains and into the dashboard. And he is sitting in my dashboard watching out the front window.
In his glory.
Having a ball. Just a total blast.
Oh, that is so, animals are hilarious.
Last week he learned how to completely get out of his cage. Totally disassemble the door. And three nights in a row we'd come home and here's Fritz waiting for us in the stepwell instead of in his crate. So since Friday we've been leaving him out so that he wouldn't have to be in his crate and he wouldn't have to disassemble the door. In my car, when we were in Atlanta in March, we had been bringing him with us because we didn't bring the motor home. The first time we were keeping him in a hotel room, and he was causing some grief at the hotel. So he was staying in the car during events, and he ate through the five sets of seat belts that we had in the car. It cost me $2,000 to fix my seat belts. He's been out three nights. All of the seat belts in the motorhome are totally destroyed. We now need to replace the seat belts in the motorhome, too.
Oh, dear.
I don't know what he's got about seat belts.
I have no idea. And he's not teething at his age, so he can't say it's teething.
He is not. But he hasn't destroyed anything else, just my seat belts, which in the motorhome are $800 each to fix.
Very exciting indeed, yes. Aha.
Gotta love having puppies.
Having pup issues for sure. Oh, goodness.
So anyway, with that, let us get our show started. I just had to give you an update because he's being so adorable.
That is really, really cute. And I'll just mention, before we go, I got one of those wonderful pens like you have. I've got myself a LiveScribe Echo 4-gigabyte pen.
Are you like going as nuts as I am about mine?
Oh, I'm over the top, out of my mind about it. What I did last night was kind of a simulcast. I was recording a Quantum Leap results call for my clients, and what I did was I also recorded it on, as well as the bridge line, I recorded it using pen. So now I have them in multiple formats, and I did small chunks, but I very easily just send one portion of it. They were 15 or 20 minute chunks. And I've sent out one portion of that tape to people so that they can see my notes as well as hear the teaching. The one I sent today was about your making a leap instead of going incrementally and expecting results to be slow.
Oh, wow. You've got to send me the link to it. Last week, I had gone to see Robert and Terry Talltree perform on Thursday, and I brought my pen with me. I started the recording, and I sat it down on a bench. We were in a school auditorium. I sat it down on the bench between me and this little girl, maybe 5 or 6 years old. And this little girl was so fidgety. I mean, she couldn't sit still for anything. So I kind of forgot about it, assuming, oh, it's going to be a bad recording. Don't even need to worry about it. But when I went to put my pen back into my purse at the end, I realized it was still recording. So I turned it off. I'm like, okay, well, I'm sure it didn't come out, but let me check. You should hear the recording. I was blown away. You didn't hear any of the little girls fidgeting at all. It only picked up what Bob and Terry were doing in the front. And when you put the headset on these little earbuds, it sounds like they were in the Sydney Opera House. The acoustics are so amazing. It was absolutely gorgeous. The music, breathtaking. And I have no idea how it did it and didn't pick up this little fidgety girl. But I have not been this impressed with a pen in my life. I ended up taking...
it's really amazing.
I took the Pulse pen back, and I got the 8-gig Echo.
Yep. Oh, good. I decided to stick with the 4-gig Echo. But, I realized that you ended up having the Pulse, and the Echo is newer and has some more features that the Pulse doesn't. So I'm glad you got that one.
The biggest difference is the amount of recording time. The Pulse only recorded 200 hours. Yours will do 400 hours. Mine I will never use, but it does 800 hours. What can you do with 800 hours of recording?
I don't know. A lot. A whole bunch with that. I just decided 400 was enough. So
I definitely agree with you. Well, I'm so glad you guys will have to do some pen casts together.
I know we can, because we can easily enough be on a conference line and doing a pen cast as long as you've got the pen near the with the speakers or whatever where we're doing the call. So that would be a lot of fun, and then we can teach together without necessarily even having to be in the same place that way.
Won't that be awesome? Oh, we got to do this.
Yeah, we can have dueling pen casts. We can each be doing our own drawings and notes and stuff and at the same time. That'd be fun.
Well, I can't see the products we create with it, because it's going to be amazing.
Oh, God, yeah, creating products for sure. That is going to be a very cool thing, and that's one of the things I already have in mind for that is using it for products. And, of course, in my jigsaw box, which I love, being able to use that to have products along with the pen, I'm going to be able to create stuff that nobody else is producing because of having those tools.
Well, I was checking out Jigsaw Box this weekend, and that's the exact same thing that I came to as a conclusion. And, you know, if you look on Livescribe.com in the business section, there is no one using these pen casts to teach authoring or internet marketing or business strategy. And
hardly
it's free
at all.
To upload your stuff to pen casts. Can you imagine the kind of traffic we could get to our sites because of pencasts we do on the topics we already talk about?
Yeah, one of the pencasts of mine is at Ask. Let's wait a 50 shushes.
He's
so
better now.
FTSL.com/leap, L-E-A-P, FTSL.com/leap.
I'm making Bill pick him up again. Sorry about that.
It happens. So, yeah, go check out the pencast. And there isn't much in the business. There's only, 9 little pages of business stuff. Mine are at the last page, of course, but it's really exciting to be able to have these tools. And we do have, Mike Koenig from Traffic Geyser is there. I just saw one of his pencasts last night.
Oh, wow, I haven't seen that. I will have to go check that out as well.
It's on the first page under on livescribe.com on the Pencasts page in the business category. He's on the first page there. So
that must be a new Pencast because it wasn't there when I was looking the other day.
Cool. Well, I don't know, but it was cool to see that, and it is an amazing, amazing tool. And I'll tell you, it was a lot of fun to be able to take notes and do little drawings along with doing the teaching and have that recorded. It's just powerful.
It really is. I'm so glad you got one.
Yeah, me too. Well, let's bring Erin on. She is a really cool person. I'm very excited to have Erin Siebel.
I have been looking forward to this myself, so...
What I love about Erin, and I'll give your bio in just a second, but what's very cool is you are just so dedicated to assisting women in business to give them the tools for success in an affordable way, and you definitely grow everything in relationship marketing. And you must have a thing for the number three, Erin, because you have three sons, and you're an entrepreneur. Over. Do you have a thing for the number three?
You know, it's never been really a number that I've had as a lucky number, so to speak. So I think it's...
Well, maybe it is. I don't know.
It could be. Maybe I should start playing out the lottery because the other numbers aren't working.
There you go. There you go. Gina and I both happen to have 13 as our favorite lucky number, but I think yours must be three, with three boys and a three-time entrepreneur. And Erin's background is in real estate, marketing, strategy, and finance. Of course, you know how we love the word strategy around here on this show. Our listeners know this. We're always talking about strategy, not tactics, not tricky, hicky things, but real strategy. So it's going to be really fun to pick your brain. So you have, Erin is feeling that the greatest gift that she possesses is connecting, and specifically connecting small business owners and women with the resources that they need to succeed. So she started her first consultancy a few years ago and has a radio show and has a website called The Seed and Seed to Sky Radio. And you are in near my old stomping grounds. I lived in southeast Denver for about 13 years. See, there's 13, I guess. And you're a little south of there, but your radio show hails from a little bit south of my old stomping grounds. So, Erin, we're real excited to have you on our show today.
Well, thank you for having me, ladies. I'm actually sitting here in awe listening to this whole conversation about a pen and a Pencast. I pride myself on being so technically savvy and knowing all about things, and I'm over here thinking, oh, my goodness, I just missed the boat on something. So
you have got to have,
offline,
go to live.
Absolutely have to have a conversation about that.
Yes. Yeah, go look at that Pencast, but go to livescribe.com and check out what this pen does. I mean, I was looking at this thing open mouthed, like, oh, my gosh, it's like Star Trek come to reality, you know.
I am so excited because, you know, as you know, when you do a radio show and you're out there and, you know, one of the gifts that I feel I can give is I'm a researcher. I love information. So I'm constantly getting emails. I must subscribe to, I don't know, over 100 emails. So my inbox is already crazy, and that just makes it completely insane. But I pick
right.
and choose the information that I want to get, and I try to keep in, you know, on top of the things that would help businesses, specifically entrepreneurs, get farther. And so technology is certainly now part of that, a big part of that. So, like I said, I'm going to have to go on after we're done with the show and figure out what I need to do to get a pen.
I went to Best Buy. They sell them. Mike Staples didn't have one, but the Best Buy did. So I bought it at Best Buy, and I got one of the big notebooks. They give you a small one, but I bought a big one to go along with it. It has special paper, Erin, because you actually write on the paper, and it shows what you're writing while you can also be recording your voice.
I'm in love already without even seeing it.
I know.
So, like I said, I cannot wait to get my hands on one. That is going to be my purchase later today, by the way.
A couple weeks ago, Anya and I did a show talking about our favorite tools, and just the day before I had gotten my pen, and I just couldn't stop talking about it. And Rhonda had just started using Jigsaw Box, which she couldn't stop talking about. So this whole show was all about our pen and Jigsaw Box. And we said, well, shoot, if you used your pen and Jigsaw Box, could you imagine? And so I'm so glad we'll be able to do that now.
Well, like I said, I'm excited.
And that's probably a tool that you'll want to know about, Erin. We did our, I call it the tools show, and it was in, when was that? End of August, so a couple of weeks ago. So end of August 2010, if you want to look in the archives for people who are listening later. We talked about several tools and other things besides that, but these two tools occupied most of our show because we were just both so excited about how you can serve people even better, train people better in using all of these different media that are now available. I mean, I love living in an era of technology. I really, truly do.
Oh, and I, you know, that's one thing, if we're talking about, let's say, small business owners, that's one thing that I preach daily. Anytime I talk to someone and ask them, how are you going to market? What are you doing every day to be in front of your customers or your potential customers? And, you know, a lot of them haven't even set up Facebook pages. They have, I mean, there are so many things they can do daily to start attracting based on what they're, you know, educating people on. And it's such a missed opportunity, and I don't think people realize that technology is not going to wait for us anymore. When technology first started, it kind of seemed to kind of, you know, hang out there and let us get caught up. Not anymore. iPad is going to be in the fifth version before most people buy it. You know, I mean, they're going to continue to increase technology to where it's going to be fabulous. And so I try to tell them, you know, take your time to do your research. Find someone to help you if you don't have the time to set up a blog or set up, you know, your Facebook and Twitter. But you've got to be out there.
Yeah, you really definitely do. And I even saw something yesterday. Gina, I know, will be interested in. You might, too. It's a little pocket voice recorder, but it actually has the Dragon Dictate program in it, so it will transfer your speech into text. Inside of
really? Where did you find this?
I will get the link. I found it on an adaptive technology website for the blind, and it was mentioned there, and I thought, oh, it's $200, and it has the software right inside the recorder. So in other words, you don't even have to be at your computer to get something transcribed, and the dictation stuff now is so much better than it was even 5 years ago.
Well, Dragon has an app for the iPhone. But if you've got an iPhone, you just download the app, you talk into your phone, and it automatically transcribes it to text. You upload it to either their website or your email, and now you've got whatever you talked into your phone transcribed. They don't have one for the Google phone yet, but they are working on it. And I'm so looking forward to that. But even the pen, you know, writing in my notebook, having that turned into text that I can send, has been a godsend. Mm-hmm. I can now write in the car and not have to have my computer on my lap.
Right, yeah, you can write notes, and there is an app you can buy that will turn that into the text into print. It won't translate your speech, but it will translate your text. So
they have a
30-day
free trial, and it really works well. I am really pleased with it. I already paid for it because it was so good. $29.
Erin,
hello. Yeah,
Erin,
I'm taking it all in. I'm listening to you guys going, I've got to get on that. So anyway, go ahead.
No. What is your, I know, I'm sorry we should get talking about these tools, but they really are things that are helpful, and they do allow you, see, our whole point in relationship marketing is serving people better, serving people really well at all levels. And yes, Erin, you're right, being in front of your customer, you really have to be top of the mind, tip of the tongue awareness with people at all times. You can't take 2 months off with no communication, or people don't even remember who you are, that they signed up for your gift or whatever it was. So what are your favorite ways using, whether it's technology or other means, that you really teach and preach and harp on business owners to do?
Well, I've become definitely a Facebook addict. I absolutely feel it's one of the most brilliant technologies that have come in our generation. I like it because it's relationship-based, and one of the things that I definitely tell others, and one of the things that I do constantly, is build those relationships. And, you know, I rarely sell what I do. I rarely talk about what I do. I've become a really good listener. So Facebook allows me to kind of see people's posts, and I try to connect with those who I feel are going to give me as much information as I'm giving them. And my posts are mostly all educational and informational, just because, like I said, it's my job to be that resource. That is what my business is. So my business translates into that, even though I'm not selling my business online. And then I find folks who now follow me, and I've got, I think, over 10,000 followers on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And I just find that, you know, you have these folks who look for your information because it's helping them. And what that does is it translates into them then obviously contacting you to either work with you further or join your organization or what have you. So that has been essential this last 18 months for me.
Well, that's great. I certainly want to pick your brain about Facebook and also about LinkedIn. I don't know about you, Gina, but I know sometimes on the show we've talked about this, you know, just how to really work with Facebook. And, of course, we understand the relationship side of it, but there all these different things with the pages versus your profile and whatever. So you have a couple of, I think, more than one page, don't you?
Yes, I actually have my own. When I started Facebook 18 months ago, as everyone is, they're a novice. They're not quite sure what exactly and how exactly to go about setting things up. And at the beginning of last year, there wasn't a lot of what's popped up recently, which is all these people saying we're experts and we can help you. Last year, and you know, about January or so, it was still such a new concept and there wasn't a lot of coaches. So I kind of just fumbled through on my own and said, I'm going to do this. Come, you know, I'm going to make it happen because I kept thinking about it. I'm like, I got to get it done. So when I went on, I created my own personal page. And I'll, quite honestly, I actually like connecting with people through that so that they can see a little bit about me personally because I am my business. I am my brand. That obviously doesn't translate for everyone because some folks work for companies and they're representing the company. So that makes sense to have their own page. I do have two pages for the Seed because I had an organization before the Seed called Boutique for the Soul, and I had started a Facebook page for both. So I've, you know, I basically still have that Boutique for the Soul because I didn't want to lose those followers. So I changed them all to the Seed, and so now I post everything in five places every day, you know, two pages on Twitter and then three on Facebook. So it is, it's a lot of work and dedication, but the benefit definitely outweighs the time that you spend, for sure. For me personally, it does at least.
So what kinds of things are you doing on your Facebook pages for your business that are getting so many people? I mean, I know that you talked about providing some good resources. Is there anything else that you're doing to encourage people to, as we say now, it's like you as opposed to become
right.
a fan? So.
Right.
And before you answer, Erin, I am having the toughest time in getting fans for my pages. Friends, not an issue at all. I quickly went to 5,000. So in answering the question, tell us also what you're doing that's causing fans to happen on your pages.
Okay. The one thing that I always do is I'm in front of people constantly. And I believe on social media you have to. And there, at first people were arguing that, saying, oh, you're going to overwhelm people. Well, here's the deal. If you, and you know, if you've got 5,000 folks on your Facebook page, you only see one post out of so many from certain people because you have so many people posting at once. So that's really the game when it comes to Twitter and Facebook, and not so much LinkedIn, but Twitter and Facebook specifically, is if you have a lot of people who are your friends or followers and you've got your wall just populating constantly with information, you're going to possibly miss a post. And I do a lot. Because, you know, I'm on here so many times a day, and there's so many people posting at the exact same time. So if you have 5,000 friends posting at the same time, you're only going to see what's on your main page. So
what?
So what I think the success that I've gotten is I continuously have a I have an automated system that posts on my behalf. I'm not sure if you're savvy with that yet, but it is a fabulous tool. And once you have those, I use Twitter and Hootsuite. To name a few, and I also have Twitter Feed that I use.
Mm-hmm.
And those tools allow for me to pre-post, which I have friends that I'll be sitting with at a restaurant. They're like, you just posted something. How is that possible? I always tell them ancient Chinese secret. But
right.
But it is a fabulous tool for those who are busy. It is very proactive, and for folks like me that are extremely organized, it allows for you to go out and create some feeds, and you can actually pull in news feeds that are specific to your industry that support what you do. And that's kind of my feeling, is everything that I post is primarily around small business owners, women in business, women getting awards around the world for doing great things in their work. That's the kind of thing I post, and it's constant. I post at least 15 times a day, at least. And I know that sounds like overkill, but it really, I mean, I get emailing me all the time.
It's a 24-hour day, and you never know when people are going to be doing things. So that you mentioned Hootsuite, which we know and we've talked about. In fact, we mentioned show even, and you've also talked about Twitter feed. So what was the first tool that you mentioned?
It's called Twitter, and it's basically pre-posting as well. Twitter feed allows for you to bring feeds to your tweets and schedule those, and Twitter allows for you to go in and customize your tweets. So if I wanted to go out, you know, once or twice a day for my business specifically, I could actually go through Twitter and program and pre-tweet, you know, set up my pre-tweets for a year out if I wanted to. So every month or every week or every day, I guarantee that someone will see something about my business throughout all of the other tweets and things that are happening.
How are you spelling Twitter?
It's twaitter.com.
Ah, okay. Cool. I had not heard of that one. It's, you know, there's so many tools, and I was like, wow, there's a new one on me. I had not heard of that one. That's very cool.
Well, if you go to the bottom of the Twitter page, your own Twitter page, and you look at the, I think it's the gadgets or something, I don't know. There's a little button at the bottom. When you go in there, you go into cyber Twitter hell, because you're just like going through one program after the other that they are promoting as, you know, a tool. And you really have to find what's best for you, and having someone refer you to those is the best way, because they've used it, it's reliable.
Right.
There's nothing
yep.
more frustrating than setting it up and then having it not go, which, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Very good. Well, thanks for that tool. Gina, had you heard of that one?
I had not.
Oh, okay. Good. It wasn't just me then. That's really
I've already
good.
Signed up to, so I'm looking forward to using it.
Yeah. And Erin, are you also on your page, so you have these things coming in that help you out with your pages and stuff so that you don't have to be constantly a slave to the computer. And are there other things that you're doing in terms of your Facebook page to get, I guess we'd say likers? I don't know what to call now that it's not fans anymore, likers.
You know, I have not yet placed a Facebook ad. I've not found the need. I believe that because I go out, I have events a lot. I do a lot of reposting of other posts for folks who, I have a lot of women here, for example, that are self-published authors. And so for those self-published authors, it is imperative for me to be part of the team of people that help them sell books. And so when I get posts from folks, I repost all the time, especially for organizations I belong to or support or nonprofits. And I also believe that gets you followers. I believe that has people get you fans, because if you're building relationships with those that have something in common with you, whether it's a nonprofit, you know, you're passionate about helping, you know, folks who have cancer, and that's near and dear to their heart, and they see that you're supporting it, they're also going to, you know, want to follow you. So there's, you know, it's a lot of about likeness on Facebook, because I know I connect with people who I think would be interesting and watch their posts, and that they're going to give me information and give me insight to certain things. Or, you know, I mean, I've learned so much about organizations and businesses and all kinds of opportunities through people's posts. So I believe if you continue to add that value, you connect with people who are of like mind, your membership is going to grow tremendously.
Very cool. Well, that's certainly always, you know, good advice. And you're talking about, of course, serving people and being of value and connecting based on sharing something of theirs with your audience. And that does certainly build the know, like, and trust factor that we talk about quite often on this show.
Right. Yep, and I here in Denver, and being that you've lived here for a number of years, you know, I call this kind of a middle market. And I came from Southern California 4 years ago, and that's an Uber market. That is a market that you are a very small fish in a big pond, unless you are just all over the place all the time, which I tried to be. But you know, when you're starting your business initially, and that was my first kind of run at being an entrepreneur, I never achieved, you know, what I have here. And I always, you know, just say, keep your head down, you know, keep your nose clean, connect with the right people, do the right things. And here now I've, in Denver, in 4 short years, I've created more success for myself through the work that I'm doing, more so than I did in 25 years in California.
Wow. Yeah, partly different size of the market. And you also have these boutique for the soul that you had started, and that really took off, and that was an actual physical boutique. So you're not only using the online strategies, is what I'm getting at here.
Right, and you know, and boutique for the soul, people thought I actually had a space, but it was networking events, and we used the word boutique to attract the female business owner, because you see something that's pink, you see it, you know, an image with a shopping bag, you're like, oh, I'm in, you know.
Right.
And what we did, what was really clever, is we made those events more about business building. So you may walk in to a doctor's office who's hosting this, so maybe a female physician, and you not only would be able to meet her as a small business owner, but maybe some of her partners or people she does business with that she wants to promote. And it really turned into, I mean, women would walk in and say, gosh, I'm just so surprised. I didn't expect to see an actual travel agent here. I was expecting to see all clothes and jewelry. So they're actually pleasantly surprised, because I always did have some element of retail so that they weren't disappointed. But that's, I think, why the concept took off, is because women came out to support each other, and they had cocktails and they shopped, but they also really got to know each other in that 3-hour period. And all the boutiques were 3 hours on their own. And we had 224 boutiques in 22 months. So we were extremely busy. I had 12 facilitators all over the state of Colorado at our heyday in 2008. So,
wow.
That's it was a lot of fun. It's just, unfortunately, with the economy, and we saw it coming last year, and I was already in production with The Seed and getting this off the ground, and I saw the writing on the wall that here in Denver, the fear factor was so great that people didn't want to come out of their homes for a while. They didn't want to shop. They didn't want to support. They just kind of had to put your head in the sand and hopefully things will pass mentality for a while.
Yeah.
And
right.
to support a business model that I had, if that wasn't going to happen. So I figured, you know, it's time. I'll wrap that up, and I'll take it all online to make it inexpensive and effective, because then they don't have to leave their house. They can still get the information they need, and hopefully it'll get them back out and connecting, which has now happened.
Excellent. That's very cool. So what is it that you did then in this transition period to get people that had been involved with the live boutiques? Now you have an association type of a situation now where people can join you online very affordably with $60 a year, I think it is. So
very
affordable. How did you, what kind of things did you do in that transition that you're saying now people are going from only being online to actually coming out of that hunker down mode and starting to interact more?
Well, it was definitely a difficult transition because, as I always do, and I seem to do very well, is I confuse people often because I jump into businesses that aren't conventional. And it takes women specifically to wrap their heads around it and say, okay, you know, because they're thinkers and they're like, okay, so she was doing this before and it's just translating online and, you know, how is this going to benefit me and what is it? And, you know, and so I always call it the dog head turn, you know, when they kind of tilt their head and look at you when you try to explain your concept. And I've had that since I've moved here, so I'm used to it. But when I translated it over to online, it somewhat forced those who weren't tech savvy to be, and some of them just couldn't make that leap, unfortunately. And that's an age issue for most. And, you know, they weren't used to it at the time. You know, like I said, 18 months ago, this was like about 20 months ago. You know, it wasn't common to go onto Facebook, especially at certain age groups. They weren't savvy. Yeah. And so it took me some time to explain to people as I was still, I still got out. I still made sure that I was out networking and that people saw I was always out and about because I wasn't afraid of what the economy was going to do. I figured it was important for me to show the strength and the support and, you know, and I don't have a lot of fear to begin with, but just to say, listen, it's okay to go out. It's okay to, you know, to still network with people. It's inexpensive, and building relationships is the best thing you're going to have. So it took probably a good 6 months to get people to convert to the idea that I wasn't going to do the physical events, you know, that were more retail and, you know, business-focused. I was then going to do what I do now, which is I do quarterly networking events to bring the resources I have on the site to an actual event so that the members and people who are, you know, women who are men or who are curious about what I do can actually in person meet these resources that I have on the site and hopefully be able to make that connection and understand the value.
That's pretty cool.
It's fun.
And so where on the site would someone go to find the places to connect with people?
Well, once you are actually a member and you're a registered member, you have access to the whole back end of the system, which has a job, a career center. It has a shopping cart. Most of my, you know, like self-published gals would be there. So they're, you know, as an author, then you've got access to, you know, special events and then, of course, all of the other components that we have, which I could go on and on. Right now, as a non-member, you can actually see the events that are going on because I feel that's important, regardless if you're a member or not, to get that information out.
Gotcha. And how many members are there now?
We right now have members and we have subscribers, and so our membership is about 150 women right now and about 5 to 6 men, brave men. I love that. And
brave, I love it.
I do, too. I always tell them they're the smartest one in the group, you know, and then the guy shows up in the room of women, I'm like, you are the smartest one. You got to tell your friends because they missed out. So we have our membership. We build very small. I mean, methodically, I should say. And the reason being is we right now, when we rolled out the seed last year, we knew that the economy was not going to support our grand vision. It just was not. So what we decided to do was, resources were needed immediately. I had personally about a dozen friends close their doors that had a brick and mortar office or a retail store or what have you last year. And
wow.
So we knew we had to get the resources out. So that's why right now what we have on the site is more of just the basic component of what our grand idea and vision is. So we are in process right now of building phase 2 of the website, which will have some of the same components, but expanding those components to more of a connection point and really truly connecting people. We have here's a big word, an algorithm that we are building, and it is like a Match.com technology. And the whole purpose of that is to not only match, and, you know, I guess let's just back up. So an entrepreneur, you know, you say, oh, I've got this passion, I want to start this business. Maybe you have some seed money, maybe you do not. And so all of the things that it takes to get your business launched take some money and, you know, and resources, of course. So wouldn't it be wonderful if you had a way to connect with resources that were sensitive to your situation as an entrepreneur and said, okay, we have been in business for 25 years, and we're kind of in the, you know, and we're a printer, let's say, and we're in the mood, you know, we're ready to give back. We have some flexibility in how we can work with an entrepreneur. And some companies may say, you know what, we don't want to work with startups because we can't afford it ourselves. We can't afford the luxury of discounting pricing or giving them pay options. But some can. So wouldn't it be wonderful as an entrepreneur to go on and fill out a profile and say, I'm looking for some resources. I've got a very limited budget for the next 6 months. My goal is to do X, Y, and Z to start cash flow. And then once I have cash flow, I can pay these folks that have helped me. Maybe I can even give them a piece of my company, et cetera, et cetera. So when they fill out their profile, the resources are filling out their profile saying, yes, we're willing to give maybe a 90-day pay cycle for a new business because we understand they don't have cash up front and helps their cash flow. But once they get this website built or the marketing piece is out, they'll be able to pay us. You know, that doesn't exist in this world today. Not to where it's in a place where you can find it. So that was our grand vision, was we not only need to say, here's this wonderful membership, which let's say all chambers across the country do, but we're also going to say, here's our wonderful membership, and we're not going to just throw you to the wolves and say good luck. We're actually going to try to be that connection point. And that's truly, I think, the seed's differentiator to what is out there today and what could possibly be out there tomorrow and what we can bring to our, you know, our audience. And on that point, too, the algorithm is actually being built for personality. So we all talk about, you know, liking the people we do business with. What an amazing concept. Well,
right.
You know, you want to find people who are kind of like you in your business style and as well as your personality. So when you fill out these profiles, you know, you're going to be asked, are you all business all the time? Or do you end up being friends with your clients or your customers and you're taking them out to dinner with their wives? That is a big factor for women. Not so much as men, because men kind of, they have a different way of taking in a relationship and working with them either in a business or, you know, personal way. But with women, we have a gut feeling, and it's,
right.
I know I do. And as I get older, it gets bigger. Not my gut gets bigger and my instinct gets bigger. But you know, I think that, you know, we want to know who we're doing business with. We want to know if they're all right and, you know, they got a sense of humor. Because I make jokes sometimes. And if I don't want to offend people, that's not comfortable for me. That wouldn't be a good relationship for me. So I believe that there are other components of doing business that need to be identified when you're matching people up. And, you know, I get referred people all the time, and I call the people who referred me to them and said, thank you so much for the referral. However, you know, you got to know I probably scared the pants off this person because I'm just, you know, I'm asking about their kids and their family and where they grew up, and they're looking at me like, oh, my gosh, I feel violated, you know. And that's just my personality. I love to learn about people because that helps me understand their business and themselves and how they do business. But if that's uncomfortable for them, then I've created this uncomfortableness that, you know, could have been avoided, I guess.
Right. And if they're uncomfortable, that's not going to make for a prosperous business relationship or any other kind.
Sure. And we've just wasted our time, essentially, because they're not going to call me again. Because they're like, oh, you know, she's overwhelming. Got to go.
Yeah.
And I do that to people just because, like I said, I don't have a lot of fear. I want to know about you and how I can help you. And if you tell me, I'll remember. But if you, you know, if you're reserved and you don't share with me your passion and what you really want to do and what you really need, it's going to be really hard for me. I meet a lot of people, you know, but I want to help them, and that's why I'm meeting with them. So it's interesting. I mean, the whole dynamic is interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
A number of years ago, I was working on a site I called JV Suite, which was going to be a membership site that had a suite of tools that people would use to build joint ventures for their business. And one of the big things that I wanted to have on it was a tool that people could use to connect with others that they could build joint ventures and strategic alliances with.
Great.
So I worked with a couple of science-based people to help create that algorithm. We ended up not being able to finish the site because we lost a piece of the technology we needed. There was an API that was out at the time that would allow us to find out details about people's websites automatically, and the that particular API got taken off the market, and when it did, we couldn't finish doing what we wanted to do.
Right.
But I know where you're at with building that algorithm. It's something that's very interesting to me because I see connections that people don't see typically. And they're just there. I just hear things in conversations and I go, oh, well, that person needs to talk to that person. They need to talk to that person.
Right, exactly.
And it's second nature to me.
Yep.
Trying to put that into a process that's duplicatable for others, oh, that's challenging for me.
Right.
So I don't envy you trying to create that type of algorithm. That's tricky.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. But it needs to happen, especially now. I believe that collaboration is key. And if you're not collaborating...
I absolutely agree.
Yeah, you're
right.
There's a huge element you are going to be missing out on. And it's like just like technology. It's going to pass you by and you're going to be like sitting there by yourself when everyone else you know is collaborated.
One of the things that I'm creating right now is I want a system that people can use for collaboration in an online business.
Mm-hmm.
If you look in the self-improvement arena at a site like selfgrowth.com,
mm-hmm.
what it is today is very different than what it was when it first came out, but it's really a site that was built on the collaboration of experts in the self-improvement arena, right? I mean, that's what it's all about. So what I'm doing is, a number of years ago, I had seen a show on the History Channel called The Band of Brothers that was
right.
all about military things, and I'm very much not into the military stuff. But I happened to be up late one night, and I saw this show about military blogging and how it talked about how the face of war as we know it would never be the same. Because so many people on the front lines out in Afghanistan and Iraq and whatnot are now blogging. And a site called MilBlogging, MILblogging.com, is the site that people go to find people who are in the military and their family who are blogging. So I'm watching the show and I go to MilBlogging.com and I realize that this is a very different kind of a site. They had about 1 million blogs at the time that were all tied together through Mel Blogging. And it was a site that I call a hub site. Well, the site had only been around about 90 days at the time, and it already had a Google page rank of 7. Blew me away. You don't get that kind of a page rank in 90 days. It doesn't happen. But it very much had to do with how these blogs were brought together on this one page. So I'm working with a group of 11 of my students. We're creating a site called howtoliveonpurpose.com. And it is very much a hub site based on the way that Mel Blogging was built. And this is the third time I'm doing this type of a project, which is really an alliance of like-minded entrepreneurs. And this time I'm actually systematizing it so I can duplicate it with other groups and other niches. That it will become something like self-growth that has all of these people who serve a similar audience, all different products, all different topics, all coming together to talk about how different groups of people would live their life on purpose. So one might be gearing the message toward caregivers. Another might be gearing their message toward authors. Somebody else might be going after massage therapists, but they're all talking about the same topic. And the way that the hub is built, 1 + 1 do not equal 2. So by bringing 11 people together, it doesn't get them the same amount of traffic that they would get from 11 separate websites.
Right.
It's more like the same amount of traffic as they would get from like 1,100 websites.
Wow.
So I'm anxious to finish this system because once the system is there, you can collaborate in any niche with any audience using that same system and always expect 100 times better results.
Right.
Right. Yeah, that's an amazing project to work in and getting that system together and having all the pieces work. And The thing is, with a lot of people and their expertise can probably take the same thing and participate in two or more different hubs simply because of the way what they do could either serve a different audience or have a slightly different slant.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm really looking forward to getting to know what's going on over at the Seed just because of this. It's a very interesting topic to me.
Well, I'm excited to get it done. I think, you know, it's so funny when you say, oh, I'm going to take something online. I think it'll be less expensive. That is definitely a misdemeanor.
Absolutely.
Right.
It is, I mean, we have spent more money, you know, just trying to bring in all the new technologies. It's just, and you have to keep caught up. So it is certainly an expensive proposition to put out.
But the one thing that is true is that in the online world, the return on that investment happens faster, and you have a much bigger return on the investment than you would offline. So it's not free and it's not cheap. But you really do get much, much better results because of that investment.
Correct. Absolutely.
Well,
I agree
and
with
here's
that.
Here's something else that happens in that as you're doing business, not only do you have to keep up with and incorporate the technologies, but you also have to respond to the way that people need to receive information. We're now in an era where the fewer steps you can make for people and the more you can break things down into small morsels instead of a big chunk, the better. So instead of giving somebody a big bunch of stuff to unzip onto their computer or whatever, can you break it up into a class that's delivered online, or can you break it up in other ways that people, because the overwhelm factor comes in so readily these days for people. So you find that's a factor too, I would imagine, Erin, don't you?
Yeah, you know, as I said, I overwhelm people all the time. So I'm not used to that. And it's always, I think that I educate more than I do anything else. I'd love to say that I inspire more than educate, but the reality is that's not the case. I constantly have to educate most of the folks who are trying to follow what we're doing, understand what the benefits are, you know, want to learn a new technology. I mean, the list goes on and on. And I'm okay to be an educator. I'm okay to be that person as long as, you know, they understand that I'm doing it for their, you know, for their greater good. And, you know, when things got a little crazy last year, I found myself trying to help those who couldn't help themselves. I think you probably know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I got to a point where some of that just sucked the life out of me. And, you know, so I truly try to help lead to the water. But I've, you know, told many, I'm not going to make you drink. I'm going to help you get there. And, you know, and that's, I think, for those of us who are out there to educate and inform and support and inspire or what have you, you have to draw a line. Because if you're preaching to an audience who will take all that information and do absolutely nothing with it, you've wasted your time.
Right.
Yeah.
And and that becomes extremely frustrating.
It really does.
I mean, it does. Yeah, it definitely does.
So is the Seed Connection just for women in business in Colorado, or is this more international?
Well, here's the deal. First of all, I love men, and I think men are fabulous business owners and, you know, businessmen. So it is for men and women. And what I tell folks is that I just have this this passion for assisting women specifically, because as long as they call us a minority, I'm going to be there to help, and maybe even after. So what I find fascinating is, you know, we are one of the largest segments that purchase in this country. And so I want to make sure to be very clear that the Seed Connection is a place for both men and women who are either, you know, business owners or a resource for business owners. And that could be men or women. And then, you know, to answer your question, in Colorado right now, I probably have, my membership is about 80-20. I did have Boutique for the Soul running in Southern California, where I'm from. And so I have about 20% of my seed members right now in Southern California. And in fact, I had a woman call me who had participated in Boutique for the Soul about a year and a half ago and said, "We miss you here. When are you coming back?" So there, you know, there are members on the site that are from other states, and my mailing list, my subscriber list for the newsletter is about 6,000. And those 6,000 are located in probably 30, 40 states. So, and I'm trying to grow that every day because my job is to get what we need to get built here and then expand in 2011 to the other states and find ambassadors that can help me bring this program locally. So.
Fantastic. And so do you do offline meetings as well as things online as well?
Yeah, you know, as far as, you know, like I said, we have the Seed Connect Summer Social that's coming up at the end of this month. We're going to have these socials every quarter to bring our resources that we have online in front of, physically in front of, our members and our potential members, and allowing for those folks also to meet in person, because I get really nervous when the generation behind me is doing a lot online and not meeting and not building those relationships in person. So I still want to make sure that people realize it's essential to have that face-to-face and that handshake in this day and age. And you can still connect online because it's easier, but, you know, still coming out. So we do the in-person events this year and probably into next year, and then we also are putting on some educational events coming up in the spring, which will be kind of like a symposium, bringing together women who have various topics in business to help support those who are needing that information. So.
Oh, fantastic. And all of those will be in Colorado?
In the immediate future, yes. It depends on how fast I get this website done. I'm hoping to have it completed, the new one, by the end of the year or by January at the latest. Once the website's complete, I can pretty much start looking out from there and saying, okay, where can we go to have, you know, kind of like I said, an ambassador program in these different markets that follow. And it's interesting. I have groups that follow the Seed from different states, and I'm not quite sure why, but like Chicago, for example, I've got a large constituency of folks from Chicago that follow what I do. And Philadelphia. Yeah, some women in Philadelphia. And with the radio show, the Seed to Sky radio show, it's national and international. So I have listeners that are Ustreaming with me online from all over the country. And so it's, you know, like I said, it's all fascinating to me that you can go out and communicate to others in different places now and effortlessly and start building, you know, like I said, that ambassadorship, because that's really what we want to do. Is if we're going to go into other states, it's really going to be a grassroots approach, just like we built it here.
One of my good friends is a woman by the name of Zoe Alexander. Zoe is the founder of a group called Divas Who Dine that is a networking group for women in journalism and PR. And they have chapters in New York, Los Angeles, and Miami. You should connect with Zoe.
I would love to.
I have a feeling that
Zoe.
The two of you would have a lot in common, and she's wanting to bring her group online. It would make a lot more sense for you guys to do that all in one place instead of two.
Right.
Exactly.
And that's the collaboration that we're looking for as far as ambassadorship in the different states. That's exactly what we're looking for. We're looking for those community leaders, probably women, who are interested in taking what they're doing. And, you know, because when we come into town and we have this, you know, ambassador program and we have like a kickoff launch event, you know, my job is to help support those who have helped us. So from that point on, in the city of Chicago, they will all have front billing on everything I do because they've helped and assisted me getting there. So it's really, like I said, it's all about collaborating and helping each other. What's most important to you? Okay, well, if you help me get into, you know, the organizations in Chicago that are focused on assisting women, in return, I'm going to make sure that everyone around the country that I go out to knows who you are. And, you know, for both of us, it doesn't take a lot of time and effort, and the benefits are huge.
Right. Well, I am not in any one area. I live in my RV full time. We travel the country. But if there's anything that I can do to help, please let me know.
Well, I definitely appreciate that. And maybe I'll come and visit you in your RV, wherever you may be. That's awesome.
We literally are all over all the time. So.
Yeah.
That's
I'm also very happy to be of service to you. And I work a lot with authors. That's a big part of what I do is helping them put their books together in a way that will really help them grow their business using the power of relationships and technology and having a strategic business. So this will be, you know, really great to always be of service to you and all of your folks in any way that I can.
Well, I so appreciate that. And I know that the women that I know here in Denver and then, of course, coming from Southern California, and I've got friends and women that I just admire around the world, but it's so cool to be a part of, you know, like an author's self-publish opportunity and getting them to, you know, number one on the bestseller list, you know, on Amazon, which is, you know, unheard of as for a self-publisher. So, and that happens because of networks now. And so
okay.
I really appreciate, you know, if you've ever got anyone like that that is, you know, looking to self-publish or just get the word out, I'm always happy to help through the seed. That it doesn't matter where they live. So.
Well, this will be a lot of fun, you know, because I, of course, have books out as well, and we'll be able to do some great things together for authors, I'm quite sure.
Yes, that, and I just, you know, it seems to be right now that there's so many, you know, wonderful stories out there to tell, and gosh knows, I have one friend here that's trying to get me to do that, and it's on the bucket list, I guess. but yeah, so it's, you know, that's what this is all about, really, is looking, you know, and getting an audience, getting a voice in collaboration, make sure voice go farther and louder, your reach is, you know, bigger, and I try to get involved with those things that help that process. So.
Excellent. So most of our listeners are people who are just getting started building their business and building their presence online.
Mm-hmm.
What can you suggest for someone who's just getting started? And a big number of them are women.
Well, the biggest thing right now I can say is never give up. I believe the only reason right now that I have withstood the economy and all of the challenges that have come my way as an entrepreneur is because I listen to what I need to take in input to help me grow, but I really try to, you know, take all the negativity and everything that comes at you, people saying that, oh, it's not a good idea or you can't do this or you feel personally that it's not achievable. It is. You just, you know, need to start asking for help, and I think that's one thing entrepreneurs aren't as good at. Is saying, telling everyone they know exactly what they need when they need it. Because you'd be surprised
yeah.
how many people can help you, or they know people who can. But if they don't know, they can't help. So just being persistent and being out there constantly. No one is going to know you if you sit behind your computer. No one. And they're going to
yeah.
need to understand you and your personality, and they're going to need to understand why you're so passionate about this business. I can tell you that's probably how I got so many people to follow me is when they hear me speak, they know this is not something that I'm doing as a hobby. This is something I am dedicating my life to, and hopefully one day I'll have a pina colada on the beach. But, you know, I mean, this is something that I'm building, and I'm serious about it, and I'm really driven. And when people hear that, you get respect for that, of course, and they get inspired. And so you need to make sure that people understand what you're doing and how you're doing it and what you need. And never give up because, you know, if you're passionate about it, it'll happen.
Great advice. Now, you and I both talk about the fact that if you're passionate about it, it'll happen. I have two groups of people. I have a lot of people who come and say, but Gina, I don't have anything I'm passionate about. Does that mean I can't have a business? Then I have the other extreme. oh, Gina, I'm passionate about everything. How do I narrow it down to one thing? And only a very small number of people are in the middle that say, wow, I have one passion. I know what to do. I know how to turn that into a business. Let me at it. So what do you do with the people on the two extremes?
Well, you know, one of the things that I am really good at is I create a lot, like in the shower, like in bed in the morning, you know, my quiet times. And I also journal, and I write thoughts down and things that come to me during my day or even in my sleep, unfortunately. I write them all down, and, you know, what allowed for me to figure out that, you know, I'm a human connector. That is what I've been put on this earth to do, and I need to build a business around that. It comes to you pretty quickly once you start identifying the strengths that you have. And, you know, saying that you're passionate about everything, well, that's, you know, I think you need to decide what would get you out of bed every single morning and put a smile on your face and make you want to go and start your day in that business. And, you know, obviously my family motivates me very much so. I've got, you know, three wonderful kids and a husband, and my parents are here in Colorado. And so I, you know, I've got different motivators that get me out of bed every day, but I truly...
Your why.
Yeah, my why, exactly. So there are some exercises out there. There are people who work with that process to help you find your why, and I would recommend seeking those folks out and just having conversations, because as you are asked questions and you answer them, your why becomes very clear. And sometimes for us, you know, we're too close to it. But and then there's those folks that aren't passionate about something. Well, you got to find passion if you're going to be an entrepreneur. You got to. You just, because there's so much self-endurance that has to happen that, you know, if you can't get out of bed because you're not passionate about something, it's going to be a really difficult road to hoe. So, you know, I think that, you know, if you're really good at something, you're going to know. And if you can't find that passion, then you need to do some more soul seeking to figure out where, you know, what really lights you up.
Really great answer. Thank you.
Yeah, that is a fabulous answer. The greatest journey is always going to be the journey within. That is truly the greatest frontier there can possibly be. And that's how you find your strength, your passion, your whatever it is that you need, really, is looking inside yourself so that you can then start there and know what you need to collect from outside.
Right. And that's hard for people to do. It really is easier said than done for a lot of people. You know, I work with people who move really fast, and I have definitely been accused of being one of those people. So self-reflection and trying to, you know, kind of hone in on what you're passionate about sometimes becomes hard because it's hard to focus on. So
yeah.
It's really, it's a skill sometimes, I find.
It really is.
I just got myself the perfect tool yesterday for any time a person thinks that something is hard. And here it is. You'll be able to hear it.
That was easy.
Yep, the easy button.
Easy button from Staples. God love them for that metaphor. That is so great.
It is. It is fantastic. Yeah, I wish it was that easy.
Right, yeah.
It's good to have it hard, though. I mean, I think that most people feel like it should be easy if they're passionate about it. And really, you know, I challenge myself all the time. I put myself into uncomfortable situations a lot because that's the only way I'm going to learn and overcome obstacles. And that is not cut out for everybody. Sometimes that is extremely hard for people to do.
Well, and I think that's why Rhonda and I even like our new pens, because to us they really are kind of an easy button. So many times people just put a computer in front of them, and it's like they all of a sudden forget everything they knew. They're so overwhelmed by having to use the technology. Put a pen in their hand, and they can write like gangbusters and know exactly what to say and how to say it and everything else. So even shifting from one set of beliefs to another can really help you if you can find the tools that allow you to stay within your comfort zone instead of having to go outside of your comfort zone.
Right.
And that's why I really love having things being done on the internet, because it allows you to give people the same information in a variety of creatives, in a variety of different ways, so that people can really stay within their comfort zone as they're learning the message that you have to give.
That's definitely true.
So, Linda, I'll let you jump back in. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say to Aaron, you know, what as you look towards the way that things are evolving, and you're talking about this new algorithm and site and some of these different ways to reach out, what are you seeing as the most effective ways, and what are you finding that maybe you thought such and such was going to work better than it actually did?
There's always a misconception that, you know, it's going to happen in a certain period of time. And I am one that doesn't hold a lot of patience when it comes to my work ethic. I'm probably the hardest person on myself. And so I believe that, you know, one of the biggest challenges is for me to say it's going to happen by this time, when there's outside forces that I can't control. And so as a business owner, it's really good, you know, to be able to identify what you can control and what you can't. So if you cannot control the weather, someone else's actions to do something that you need to have done, like maybe a website, you know, there's certain things that you just can't control. So that has been probably one of the bigger challenges that I've had in the last 18 months of building the seed is just getting over some humps, and it's usually a time challenge where I assumed it was going to be done by this and hoped, and it didn't, and it wasn't anything that I could change. As far as, you know, with the seed and where we're going right now, I believe that, you know, we have such amazing momentum, and it's only a matter of time. We, you know, I have pretty much bootstrapped the organizations that I've created over the course of the last 10 years. And it's gotten to a point where I'd really love some extra help there. So I've just started going out and talking to those who are more so educated in that than I, to figure out what that looks like, because that's also a very scary proposition, to give up any part of your company to take on any kind of debt. It's a big decision. And so, but with these technology advancements and all of the modules that I need on my site, I feel, to make the site what it needs to be, it costs more and more and more every day. So, you know, cash flow is not as what it used to be. So I'm right now, you know, just kind of looking at my options and working with professionals who have done this, because I would never try this on my own, to see, you know, how they can help and what advice they can offer and maybe go down that path this next year.
Yeah, it's like when you hear those the stunts on TV or whatever, and they say, don't try this at home.
Yeah.
What
yeah,
you're saying
I feel
is
like
really...
sometimes that plays in my mind on a daily basis, but...
right. You're kind of saying, don't try this alone.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
really saying, don't try this alone. Meaning, you know, yeah, you can try it. You're building. You're doing. You're not being in paralysis by any means, but you're not trying to do it alone. You're trying to figure out how to expand in a way that's strategic, is what I'm getting from what you're saying.
Well, and we all, you know as entrepreneurs that we have an expertise in something, but we do not have
right.
an expertise in everything. And the sooner you know that, the better. Because when
right.
you start working with someone, let's say like myself, who has an expertise in what you don't have, you need to let go and realize that person you brought in is there for that reason. They are there to help you with that expertise, and I find more so than not that the entrepreneurs I've worked with start, you know, holding things close to their chest because they feel like they're going to lose them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
yeah.
like, you've got to let it go. You've got to let the people who know better help you, and that's why they're here. But if you won't let go and you feel threatened that someone's going to take something from you, then you're never going to get the right answer, and you're never going to get the, you know, the right things done for you because you are not the expert. And,
right.
And that is, man, I'm telling you, this year I've had quite the experience with that, and I'm trying to put my head around why right now that is a challenge. But, you know, as I said, I know I overwhelm people from time to time. But, you know, when I go in, I don't mess around. I don't waste time. I don't waste their time or mine. I said, this is what you need. This is how you need it. And if you need help, this is what I can do. And
right.
I do that just occasionally because I don't have a ton of time to take on clients. And, you know, and it's been interesting.
Has that turned into a source of clients for you?
I'm sorry?
Has that turned into a source of new clients for you, too?
You know, like I said, I can only take on maybe a client or two at any given time because of the amount of other opportunities I'm involved with. I do a lot of nonprofit work, and I also, I'm not sure if you ladies are I'm sure you are familiar with the BPW.
I know of it, yes.
Yeah, the BPW is the oldest networking organization for women in the country. And it was, they were the group that actually formalized the bill, Amendment 19, to be signed to help women to vote. So so I am a local chapter president for that, and I also belong to the Women's Chamber here and the American Businesswoman Association here. And so I give my time a lot, you know, through volunteering and being a member. So so I can only take on so many clients, so to speak. I could take some on, but really, like I said, mostly now it's trying to help them with their either social marketing aspect and just educating them on what they can do, so maybe just giving them, teaching them what they need to do and then moving, letting them do it on their own or, you know, helping with maybe just a go-to-market strategy, which I love. So.
Great. And
wow.
Your primary product is the membership, correct?
Today it is, yes. Today the membership will be the, you know, and until the new site's up. And then when the new site's up, you know, we've got everything from a job board for employers to post positions for a ridiculously lower cost than what Monster and all of those are now charging these companies, which is really not allowed for small business owners to post any jobs on those sites because it's so ridiculously expensive. So we're hoping to be a resource for that. We already spoke about the opportunity for authors and such to be posting their books and selling them via our site. And so there's going to be a lot of other channels that we will be launching. But right now our goal is just to keep it simple and basic and very inexpensive. And it always will be inexpensive in compared to anything else that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Well, we've had, we have one coming next week and another guest we've had in the past who I think would, you know, are just tremendous all in different ways dealing with how to grow your business on a shoestring type of budget. We have had Jessica Swanson from the Shoestring Marketing Association, in the past on our show. And next week we have Shel Horowitz, who is the author of several books, the number one best-selling author, and including Guerrilla Marketing Goes Green. And he also has one on that is for authors and publishers about grassroots marketing and strategies. So,
very,
you know,
cool.
Kind
of, sounds like all
yeah,
new
it is,
content.
Yeah, it is very. Mhm. That's one thing that's really fun about the radio show is you are just such an awesome guest, so talented, and many cool things happening, and just like other people who are on our show to be around, surrounded with this. Every week, what an amazing gift that is, you know, for me as a co-host and as a guest booker, it's very cool, and also, of course, for our audience, and I'm sure, Gina, that you feel that same way.
Absolutely. If I didn't, we wouldn't be doing the show, let's put it that way.
And radio is such a good venue. I love it.
It really is. You can reach so many people, and anybody can really, you know, connect with us through it.
Right, yep, and the reach is wonderful, and then you've got an asset at the end of the show. You are actually able to take your interview and keep it and use it for other things, and I think that, you know, is extremely valuable and one of the things that most people don't realize about radio.
Right. Especially this type of radio where the shows stay up. And terrestrial radio, and most of the time it's there and gone, except for those shows that are actually now, you know, streaming their content. Not all of them do. So some
right.
do, but it's wonderful to have these venues where somebody can be looking for exactly that type of information and be able to find your show and listen to it. And
yep.
It does make for a great resource. And how the fact that anybody can be a radio host these days and find a way to grow an audience around their expertise and using radio as one method is phenomenal as well.
Yes, I absolutely agree. And here in Colorado, it's taken off considerably. And I actually, I started my show in July, and I, you know, I 1,000% love it because it gives you a voice, it gives you an opportunity to take your circle of influence and put them in front of people and say, this is the kind of folks that you need to surround yourself
right.
with, you know. And I'm actually looking at potentially putting together my own network. I'm kicking that around because I am enjoying it so much, and I believe that there are so many women like yourselves that have so much value to give. So I will keep you guys informed on that.
Please do. Yeah, please do. And certainly remember, both of us are here to serve you anytime you should need something. Never, ever hesitate to contact us.
Oh,
we're
I so
very
appreciate
happy.
That.
Yeah. The other fun thing about this show is that we talk with someone long enough to get a good feel for what they're doing and for them, like yourself, to get a sense of how we operate, and that's just a valuable thing as well.
Well, I hope to have you all, you both on my show as well, and we're booking right now for the spring, so I'd love
yeah.
to set up a time and get that going.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah,
I know I will be there in November, and we'll look forward to getting Gina on as well.
Yes, yep, yeah, that's right. You are in November. I forgot.
I am.
I'm so excited. Yay,
oh my.
Good. So
yeah,
we'll have to
I am.
In a,
I was,
yeah. So in a couple months, we'll have to revisit, you know, this conversation
yeah,
and see where things are.
And when I come
that
out to Denver, I'll certainly let you know. I have friends out there still, and I'm hoping to come out there sometime soon to be able to see friends and make some good connections while I'm out there as well.
Oh, my gosh, that'd be wonderful, and I would be happy to host you at any of these events that I, you know, have going on. So when you know your dates, please let me know, and I can introduce you around town, and, you know,
that'll
I know
be
you
love.
Have friends here, but.
yeah.
Well,
no, but
the Tashas
yeah.
that I mentioned earlier that I'm working on the alliance with are out of Colorado, and I will be getting there as well, visiting with them over the next year or so a number of different times. So if there's
yeah.
ever a time that I can be of service while you're doing live events out there, just let me know. I'd be happy to.
Oh, yeah. Anytime
right.
that you're here, please let me know the dates, and I will make sure to include you in whatever we got going on. That'd be wonderful.
We can make it a great time. We'll get Gina
That'd
and myself.
That'd be a great idea, Rhonda. I'd love that.
Yeah. Let's all do that at the same time, because I've already told the Tall Trees I want to be able to hook up when they're actually in town. So that while I'm in Denver, yes, of course I want to see my friends, but, you know, I really want to see the Tall Trees and, you know, Aaron, you and other kinds of people that I've met who live out in that area. So I was not an entrepreneur really when I lived in Colorado. I was doing massage therapy and doing other kinds of things, but I hadn't really started this type of business at that point. So it's a whole new set of connections now.
The Tall Trees have called twice while we've been on the air. And the last time I was thinking, maybe I should answer the phone. I should have answered the phone and brought them in to introduce them to Aaron.
Oh.
I don't know what they were calling about.
Oh, that's really cool. They're some amazing people. You will just absolutely love the Tall Trees. They are great.
Oh, you so will. Go check out their website at thetalltrees.com. They are an incredible. Yep, just like it sounds. Tall Trees, plural, all one word. Robert is an Indian chief from the Chippewa tribe.
Very nice.
And they travel the country talking to students, teachers, and parents about, I guess you could say there's a slightly different message for each one. For kids, the message is that everything is possible, that you really can be anything and do anything if you set your mind to it. For teachers, the message is about how to do a better job of really getting kids into learning And for parents, the message is how to become a better parent. So it's a similar message, but in three different ways.
Right.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I actually
and
love
they're
to
wonderful
talk with
musicians,
them.
Too.
Yes. Go ahead, Rhonda.
They all just saying they make beautiful music. Erin,
sure
what
do.
A pleasure it's been.
Well, same here, and thank you always for, you know, for allowing me, for me to come on and chat about the business. And I don't get to do that terribly much, but just because, like I said, I'm more listening. And but I really, really appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to having you on in November to do the same thing.
Yes,
thank you so very much. And site is theseedconnection.com, www.theseedconnection, theseedconnection.com.
Great.
Wanda, should we take the last couple minutes of the show and update our listeners on what's going on with the viral video stuff?
Yes, we need to do that. That's why I was kind of winding us up a little early with Erin, because we have a chance, and Erin, there's something you might like. I actually just sent you one of the movies that we're doing this with. While we've been on the air, Doug Westmoreland, who is the creator of these viral inspirational videos, has sent over a new one for me that comes from his joint venture with the founder of Simple Truths. And I have this fabulous movie about pulling together, and it's really something that geese can teach humans about pulling together. It's a beautiful, amazing movie that is relevant to your life and business. And you can see that particular movie at asktsl.com/together. asktsl.com/together. So, Gina, how is your landing page coming along?
I was working on it last night. I should have it over to Doug sometime today. I'm so far behind on it. But I expect by our show next week it will be up and running so that we can really take a look at it. Wow, I love this movie.
Oh, it is beautiful. It is so incredible. Yeah, it is. I just love that one.
And I spoke with Mike Evans last night and have to give him a call back today. He needs some guidance on, okay, now I've got this landing page, I've got this movie, now what do I do?
Okay.
It might make some sense for us to plan the last few minutes of one of the upcoming shows to bring Mike on and help answer that question.
I think that would be good. We will look forward to being able to do that, to give him some assistance. And I don't know if he already has a subscriber list or not, but
he did not have one to start with.
Not to start with. Well, that's okay. This is, you know, we all start somewhere. Mine isn't huge. You have certainly the biggest list by far of any of us. So, but I've been using Twitter and Facebook and putting it on friends' walls with a little personal message and things like that. And people are starting to share those movies. And I have sent them to my subscribers as well. But I'm doing a lot of it with the using the various social media sites that are around. And emailing it to people if somebody's having, you know, a tough day, or I feel that one of them is like, oh, that's a perfect message for so-and-so, I'll just go ahead and write them a personal note and say, I think that you'd really enjoy this movie, and you know, please enjoy it and share it.
Oh, that's a great thing to do with it, Rhonda.
Mm-hmm.
And how are results coming so far with getting subscribers from it?
I have to double check my stats, but I have seen and see that I haven't gotten into it as hot and heavy as I wanted to, partly because I was getting all of my stuff put into Jigsaw Box and basically exhausting myself for 2 solid weeks. So, so I didn't get as much as I wanted out there. But I do notice that they're being passed around, and I do notice subscribers coming in. I haven't checked on, you know, statistically, list size and things like that, but I am getting more subscribers from it. So that's a good thing, because, of course, at the end of the movie is an opportunity to receive a gift. And the gift I'm using is something, part of it in any case, is only something that people who come through the videos are receiving. I'm not giving that gift out in any kind of other giveaway or to my list in general unless they're coming through the special offer. So I think that's kind of a nice thing, too. for making it a little bit different.
Very, very good idea. I like that a lot.
So what I did was an audio about creating the best story of you, where I'm showing people how it is that storytelling allows you to create the life of your dreams.
Oh, I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's my special gift. So when people watch any of the videos, asktsl.com/together, at the end you can receive that audio. It's 30 minutes. It's broken up into small sections so that each area is about a certain aspect of it, and it helps make it easier for you that way. And it's only for people who are coming in through these videos.
You know, I just did a call last week, and I can't remember what call it was, talking about the story of you. And I had just said, I wonder if Rhonda's got a resource like the one she has for character studies and character sketches that you can use to create the story of you. I wish I could remember what call that was. I could go back and tell them. I'll go listen to a few of my recordings, see if I can figure it out. I can send them that link for you.
Sure. Yeah, it just send them to one of the movies. And the other thing is I am actually creating a program specifically around that will include questions to answer, much like the character study, and, you know, of course, other multimedia resources for people. Because to me, you know, the storytelling for business and so forth is a great lead-in for the business aspect of it. But the most important aspect of everything that I'm doing is really empowering you to create the best story of you, living the life of your dreams, serving people, touching lives, doing what you're meant to do, what you feel is your particular passion and purpose while you're here on Earth.
Absolutely. Well, fantastic. We will be back next week with our guest. Is it Shel Horowitz next week?
It is Shel Horowitz next week,
oh,
our best-selling.
It's going to be so much fun.
I know. I can't wait. I'm excited. So, yes, we'll have him next week. And thanks, everybody, for listening.
And we will see you all next week. Have a wonderful week, everyone. Thanks, Rhonda. Thanks, Erin.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Gina. Thanks, Erin.
Come back next. Come back next. Relationship Marketing 101.
Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.